saving money on your interior stains and finishes now at Menards. Provide exceptional color to your staining project with Minwax Color Series. It applies evenly and dries fast with just one coat. Get a quart of Minwax Color Series wood stain in over 240 colors. On sale now through April 12th. Visit our paint desk and let our helpful team get you everything you need for your stain project today.
Save big money at Menards.
The Killer!
Live from Texas Tailgate for a Veritex Community Bank Roadshow, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 proudly present The Killer Bees.
Definitely a fan of The Killer Bees.
Now bringing you the fastest 3 hours in Houston sports radio, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Brett.
Alvarez launches deep right field, and this one is gone! And the Astros walk them off in game one! Yordan Alvarez! Are you kidding me?
In the air, deep left center field, hit well. Rodriguez on the run, and it is gone! Oh, Jeremy Pena sends one to the seats, and the Astros lead 1-0 in the 18th inning.
Judge on the crowd. Presley's got it. Easy flip. Ball game over, and the Houston Astros win the American League pennant.
Real Muto.
Bouncing ball to third. Caught by Bregman. Throw across in time. The Astros have a World Series no-hitter.
On a 2-1, Alvarez. It's a high drive center field. Veerling's back. This game is turned upside down.
There goes the runner. Fly ball down the right field line. Tucker comes on. Kyle Tucker. This time they finish the job. The Houston Astros, world champions.
This moment.
Ooh, what up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing? It's here. It's finally here. Opening day in the big, beautiful city of Houston, Texas. If you don't love this day and you don't love the Houston Astros, then you don't love baseball, because it is here, ladies and gentlemen. The Juice Box, as all the media members that really never go to games like to refer to it. But Minute Maid Park is the center of the baseball universe today, as everybody will be watching on ESPN on national TV. The banner will be revealed. And, of course, we will be ready for regular season baseball. It is the Killer Bees. I am Joel Blank. Jeremy Branham is somewhere in the stratosphere trying to get hooked up on remote location. That we will be hooked up with him shortly. But until then, I do have my furry friend, Stump Mitchell, otherwise known as my boy Joe George, and we are going to talk some Houston Astros baseball. Dylan Cease on the mound to face Framber Valdez. Are you happy, Joe? It is back. Baseball is back, sir. Are you ready to talk to me?
I am ready to talk to you. I don't have my headphones plugged in, but I'm ready to talk to you.
Are you excited about baseball?
Baseball's back. It's the best time of the year.
I mean, you think about it. There are dead periods in sports where we have to work a little extra hard, because like that week of All-Star break in baseball when there's nothing going on and everybody's just clamoring for something. Well, you know, NBA, okay, great. About 7 games left in the regular season, then we're getting ready for playoffs. Not a lot of people paying a lot of attention. If you care about the MVP race, you probably care too much. So the basketball isn't great. After college basketball wraps up this weekend, let's just be honest, not a whole lot of extra excitement on the Final Four this year, simply because the teams that are involved aren't who a lot of people were expecting, including Houston Cougars. But now we got regular season baseball. Now we've got something to talk about every single day. And oh, by the way, you've got the best team in all of baseball playing right here in H-Town, and they're going for, you know, 2 straight and trying to continue this golden era run of Houston Astros baseball. It's exciting times all across baseball, but especially here in H-Town.
Yeah, I mean, this is everything that like we've all been waiting for since the end of the season, because winning a World Series is fun. It's awesome. It was a great celebration. But I think everyone just already immediately was like, I'm ready for baseball to be back. I'm ready for the next journey to another World Series. And everyone wants to see the Astros to be the first team to go back-to-back since the Yankees in, what was it, the late 90s?
98, 99, 2000,
yeah, something like that.
Yeah. Right in that range.
Like that's what everyone's focused in on. And it's been a long offseason. It's been a crazy offseason, especially towards the end, Joel. Like, everything was kind of status quo after James Click got fired. And then it was like, okay, they're going to find a new GM. And then they made some moves, like really just re-signing guys, signed a Bray, everything was status quo. And then it's like the last 3-4 weeks, like the world has fallen apart. McCullers is hurt. Altuve's hurt. Brantley's still not back.
Jordan was hurt.
So it's like it's been this like weird roller coaster of nothingness to some fairly understood panic, I would call it. And now it seems like everyone's back on track and ready for tonight.
Yeah, look, it's exciting. And I ask you this because it's a conversation that we had going, I think, prior to you joining us, that Jeremy and I went back and forth on. Do you feel like this team is better than, the same as, or less than it was a year ago?
Same as?
I think Verlander's a loss, but I think it would be unrealistic to think that Verlander was going to be who he was a year ago. So, and the money was just too outrageous. Now, I love the signing of Abreu, and I think you upgraded. But I also think that there was money to spend, and there's plenty of money that's still on the table that they could have spent, that they didn't spend, that at the time you kind of were like, that's not a big deal. But now when you look at it and say they could use depth in the outfield, they could use depth to fill in for Jose Altuve and the unfortunate injury, you could have used some of that money, and you still could, and they haven't, and now people are looking at it a little differently. I thought that this was a better team than it was a year ago because of Abreu, and I don't think they lose that much in the pitching staff because they have so many good young arms. The best bullpen in baseball is back, and I think that that's a huge factor. Now, on the flip side, I think the schedule plays into this because you play everybody now. And I know that in years past, it's been a cupcake division that the Astros have mopped up on. I think it's almost a blessing that they're not playing that schedule this year because of how good the other teams are. When you look at the improvement of the Angels and the Rangers, when you look at the Mariners who gave you all you wanted, though you swept them, I said it was the hardest fought sweep you'll ever see in baseball. And then they kept upgrading in the offseason to try and catch the Astros. You've got three formidable teams in the division that are nipping at the heels of the Houston Astros with a target on the Astros' back, and I think that the division is different than it was even a year ago, and I think that's an advantage to the Astros because now you can mop up on bad teams across baseball instead of playing 19 games against four teams in which three of them are pretty damn good.
Yeah, I think it's a good advantage. I don't know if it's a huge advantage just because, like, with every team – you get rid of, like, there's of like every game you get rid of was the Mariners, you automatically have a Mets, but you also add the Pirates, the Reds, some of the worst teams in baseball as well that, like, you wouldn't see on a regular basis. So I think this is also like a balance thing where it works out in the Astros' favor by not having to play the Mariners all the time and an improved Rangers and improved Angels team. But also, you know, if you struggle, you don't have those games to take advantage of towards the end of the season to close those gaps either. So that's like the one downside with it, I would say.
Yeah, I mean, but I look at it and I say, no matter what, the Astros don't. The good of it is I think they capitalize, like you said, on playing a lot more bad teams, and they're not playing the teams in the division that have gotten better. I think the other thing, though, that they have to take note of is the fact that no matter who you play and how bad that team is, their World Series is when they play you because they're playing the best team in baseball. They can make a statement. Look no further than the last couple of years when they got swept by the Tigers, or 2 years ago when the Orioles were bad and they got swept by the Orioles. And bad teams look for the opportunity to make a statement by playing the best team and playing them well.
I think the one thing that I'm looking forward to most this year, Joel, is, like, you know, playing those bad teams and seeing what it's going to look like this year. I'm excited for the fresh schedule in terms of just, like, the fact that, like, you see fresh faces all the time. And I think that's good for the Astros, too, because, like, you get to play teams that you might see in the National League, in the World Series, in the ALCS, in the ALDS, I think more frequently. I'm just excited. Like, I'm excited to go to the game tonight, Joel. I'm excited to be there. And it's just going to be – it feels like this season's going to be different because of the injuries. But it's also going to provide, like, I think, a lot of opportunity to make this season more interesting. Because I do feel like last year, the one thing with the Astros is they almost got stale in a way. Like, towards the end of the season, once the division was clinched, it was like everyone already knew what was going on. Like, everyone knew that the Astros, all that mattered was the World Series. And the one thing that's, like, the benefit of all this stuff, all these changes, the injuries and all of that, I think the season's going to just be more day-to-day grind, fascinating from our perspective, too.
Yeah, I mean, this is something that I think fans take for granted way too often, and that is how good of a run this has been, had been, how sustained this run has been, and how spoiled they've gotten, and just the fact that every single year, it's like this year, even with the injuries, everybody just assumes, hey, by the time that Altuve comes back and everybody gets healthy, they'll be fine. They'll still have a lead in the division. It's not going to affect their playoff chances. It could. I mean, you just don't know. So that's some of the stuff we're going to get into. Obviously, we're going to be Astro-centric today for the most part because of the fact that we have opening day. 6 o'clock tonight, Dylan Cease and Framber Valdez. Jeremy should be ready to go and ready to join us here in the next segment. So we'll have a full complement of the Killer Bees in the Hive, and that means you guys as well. 713-780-3776. Call or text the show. Hit us up, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Back with more Killer Bees ESPN.
You're listening to a Veritex Community Bank Roadshow, live from Texas Tailgate. This is the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Broadcasting live from Texas Tailgate on Texas Avenue, just a few blocks away from Minute Maid Park, where tonight, opening night, the Astros hashtag ready to reign. Looking for back-to-back titles has not been done this millennium. Did you guys miss me? What did you guys talk about in the first 15 minutes of the show?
You?
I figured you would. You sound like Cody Stutz if you were talking about me.
Yeah, we talked about the fact that you're just such an uplifting soul that no matter what trouble comes anybody's way, you find a way to just calm their nerves and allow them to see the light at the end of the tunnel, even if it's on 59 with a parking lot.
You're right. You're right. I bring out the best in people.
I did not say that. It's like
a great point guard. I bring out the best in people. It's pretty much what you alluded to.
No, I said you're more like Joe? Stuart Smalley. You bring the statements. I don't think that you bring the backing of them.
Absolutely.
I feel like you're kind of backtracking here a little bit, Joel. Like, I feel like you did say that.
Exactly.
Shocker, Joe. You're going to take the side of Jeremy. That's just absolutely like earth-shattering to me. I never saw that coming.
Yeah. I bring the best. I'm just like a good point guard. Just call me Chris Paul. Call me point god from here on out.
No.
I don't want chocolate.
I don't want Chris Paul on the show because that means we're never going to make the playoffs or do anything meaningful.
Oh, you can make the playoffs. You're just not going to make it as far as you want.
Yeah. It's a great spot out here.
Don't call Jeremy white chocolate, by the way.
You can call me coconut chocolate. You know, dark on the outside, white on the inside. But an outstanding time here at Texas Tailgate. There's many food trucks out here. They're going to have some people giving away drinks and stuff like that. Everything's getting set up right now. But if you're headed out to the Astros game tonight, opening night, which I'm sure everybody is, it's going to be a sold-out crowd. But whenever you do, when you're looking for a place to hang out, tailgate ahead of the game tonight, this is the spot to be. Food trucks galore, tons of drinks, a great spot here at Texas Tailgate on Texas Avenue, right across the street from where the Dynamo play, and only a few blocks away from Minute Maid Park. So if you're swinging by downtown tonight, this is the spot you need to be. We'll be here until 3 o'clock, of course, and in the wheelhouse. We'll be here until 7 o'clock. So what are you guys most excited for? Opening night is finally here. I have my plans. I'm ready to go for tonight. What is the thing that you're most excited for opening night, the first day of what is a 162-game marathon in Major League Baseball?
I'll start, Joe. I'm really excited about just the pomp and circumstance of what opening day is and what it signifies, and that is, you know, another banner in Minute Maid Park. The ESPN putting the Astros center stage on the front of the baseball world on the biggest day to start the season, and everybody gets to see it. See the team that everybody loves to hate, get another banner, get more rings, and continue to establish their legacy and that they're continuing to build on, so that whether you love them or hate them or you agree or disagree with anything that's happened in their past, they are the team to beat. They are the team that won it all, and everyone is going to see it this evening, and I love that.
Joe George, what are you most excited for? You're the one of the three of us that's going to be here. Yep. Somehow you got credentialed.
Oh, by the way,
entire bullpen got credentialed, but the Killer Bees did not.
He mentioned it, by the way. He made sure to mention it in the first segment, kind of like, oops, I dropped this. Oh, I'll be there tonight.
Yeah. The last time I was at Minute Maid Park, I was on the field after they won the World
Series. Oops, I dropped that, too. Let me pick both of those up later.
I'm excited to get back at Minute Maid. I'm excited to watch Jeremy Pena hit a leadoff home run tonight, so.
Oh, listen to that. That's a little bit of foreshadowing on who he thinks the leadoff hitter is going to be for the Houston Astros.
I officially lost a wager. Jeremy, I owe you lunch.
Yeah, I know. I was going to bring that up. You do. You owe me. You know who else owes me a wager?
I'm a man of my word.
Limmy owes me lunch because he said Mauricio Dubon would not be on the opening day roster.
Oh.
Mauricio Dubon's going to be on the opening day roster, so Limmy owes me lunch. Let's see if he's the first listener that I've won a bet against. This is the third bet I've won against a listener that actually pays up. And then Joe George actually wins. I beat Joe George in the bet because Joe George said that the Astros would trade for a catcher ahead of opening day, which was actually Blanker's take that Joe like put
Doubled
the stakes on the line for.
Dumb decision. I let someone else's take. And I took the wager on it, which was
You let it influence it. And Blankers was smart. Blankers was like, I'll
stupid
I'll have
is
the take,
stupid
but I'm not
does, Joe.
Fair.
You know, I'm one of those weird dudes that loves like the
just stop there.
I'm not going to say that. But I like the 162. Like a lot of casuals, and none of us are, and most of our listeners are not as well. Most of the casuals kind of just check in, you know, because it is a marathon. It is a long season. I heard the last couple of minutes of your previous segment. And you said that the Astros season kind of got stale. I don't know if I would use those words, stale, but whenever you have a marathon season, you know you're going to win the American League West. You're leading the division by double digits. You know, you're kind of limping to the finish waiting for postseason baseball because postseason baseball is a lot of fun. But a lot of casuals, they'll check in. They'll look at the standings. They'll catch the game when they're at the bar. They'll catch a game if they have nothing else to do. And then once postseason baseball rolls around, they're all in, right? Which is fine. I mean, everybody's got their ways to, you know, to go about rooting and following the Houston Astros. But I actually like the grind of 162 games. Like, I like that I'm going to see David Hinsley and probably Mauricio Dubon for 2 months. You know, you're going to see those dudes for 2 months. I love to see the emergence of last year was Brian Abreu. Like, no, Brian Abreu was not expected to have the year last year that he had. And all of a sudden, he started to, you know, to figure it all out. And I like to see that emergence. I like to see Jeremy Peña in a rookie year. So, I like the small things over the course of 162 games. And whenever I look at the small things over 162 this year, I think the things that you look at the most is, okay, how many at-bats is Yiner Diaz going to get while Michael Brantley's out, while Jose Altuve's out? I think he's going to get a lot. So I'm going to appreciate watching the development and the growth and the prospects of a Yiner Diaz. Same thing with Hunter Brown. Like, I'm excited to see Hunter Brown make 30 starts this year. Well, I don't know if he's going to be good. I don't know if he's going to be bad, but I'm excited about the young guys over the course of 162.
I think that's probably in part two because we're excited to see how far this run can go. How long and sustained can this golden era of Astros baseball continue? And we saw it by adding in Abreu. We know that, you know, as they continue to lock up Yordan and the middle of the lineup still has all the talent that they have, they still have options to get better. And like you said, if along the way, instead of just relying on free agency to add, you can bring some guys up through the system like Corey Lee, who could be the heir apparent catcher in waiting, and you have a Yiner Diaz, like you said, that could be a stick in the lineup no matter where he plays. And the development of a Jeremy Peña along the way as well. And then even guys that we're going to see and not see. Jolks is one thing because we're going to see him. Durden's another thing because you want to see him. There's still enough in 162 to be excited about and the fact that you are the dominant team in all of baseball.
I think the thing that I'm most excited about this season is really, and I don't know if it's excited or curious, it's really Peña. It's like, is playoff Peña that guy? And like, well, that was like the coming out party. That was, he's one of the top shortstops, that he was being disrespected. You know, like, those top 10 shortstop lists came out in the offseason. I think he was either off them or towards the back end, and everyone was upset and felt he was being disrespected. But like, when you look at his numbers during the regular season, I get it. But the postseason is like, is Peña that guy? That to me, I think, is the thing I'm most curious about and excited.
Yeah, it's that, Joe, in a nutshell, is kind of like when we've seen the sophomore jinx in a lot of ways, right? We saw Vince Young. We saw RG3. We saw guys in other sports where they had these great rookie campaigns, and then there's the possibility of falling off. There's also the possibility of cementing a legacy. Like when Derek Jeter finally got his chance to play for the Yankees and all of a sudden started to solidify it, then you knew instantaneously that, you know, this was a player to keep an eye on, and he was going to be a big part of what the Yankees were doing. That's what every Astros fan feels that way about Jeremy Peña. But they forget that it was an up-and-down regular season, right? And then all of a sudden, he got hot at the right time. He found out, you know, the two-hole was the perfect spot for him. He found his groove. He won the MVP in the ALCS and the World Series. Now everybody expects that to continue, him to pick up where he left off, and him to be the next star that's a stalwart in the middle of this lineup or in this lineup. And I just don't know if that's putting the cart in front of the horse. That might be a little too quick, but I am interested to watch the progression because I don't think he's going to fall off by a ton, but I also don't think he's going to pick up where he left off.
Yeah, it's Joe didn't like what I had to say, so he cut my mic. I was sitting over here banging on my microphone, and
man.
It was like, dang, Joe, he's really taking that bet that I won way too seriously.
Lately, Joe carries like a guillotine and a hammer, and no matter where on any part of the show, social media or otherwise, if you piss him off, you're gone.
Yeah, those are coming. Don't worry.
Oh, I know.
And we'll do our first Major League Baseball update of the season.
Thought.
Yeah.
The chase to 63 or whatever it is has begun. Aaron Judge goes deep in his first.
Well, let the New York media run wild because they already got something to talk about with Aaron Judge hitting a home run.
Yeah, I don't. I drafted Aaron Judge in one of my dynasty fantasy baseball leagues, so I don't know if I don't know if I'm going to hate that Aaron Judge hits 64 home runs or whatever he decides to hit this year. But I think that the Yankees might be in for a long season. We'll get into some overrated teams a little bit later around Major League Baseball. We talked a lot about predictions at the really for the last 30 days. Joe George took us on the gauntlet that was our Astros opening day countdown and asking you a question every single day. We don't have any more shows before Astros opening day. Today is the last show that we have before the Astros tip it off in the 2023 season. Are you ready for a World Series prediction, Blankers?
I can be, sure.
Do you think that the Astros are going to hashtag ready to reign?
Do
you think they're going to go back-to-back?
I really do. I really do. I feel very good about this team. I mean, I love this team, but I love everything that they did in the offseason. I was telling Joe before he got smart enough to join us on this show that you and I would go back and forth about if this team got better from a year ago. And I think the bigger question is, can they do what they did a year ago? And I believe that they can. And I think that, I think no matter what the rest of the American League tried to do to catch up, they still are the leader in the clubhouse. The injuries aren't, to this point, thankfully, anything to be sustained and worried about for an entire season. And I think that once they right the ship by getting healthy, that this team is going to settle back in and their experience is going to mean something. And I think they're going to be back there again. I believe that it's going to be the Astros and the Braves. I believe that the Braves' young pitching is really, really good. But I think that this is a revenge series and a little extra motivation. And I think the Astros end up beating the Braves in the World Series.
Okay, why not? I mean, I'm out at Texas Tailgate. Everybody's having a good time. There's food trucks everywhere. The jams are, they're hitting good. They're hitting good right now. I'm going to have a little bit of a bite here in a second. Sure, why not? Astros are going to win the World Series in 2023. They're going to be ready to reign, and then they're going to reign. And they're going to be the first back-to-back champion.
Did you want to poke the bear? Were you hoping to not have to say that?
Who do you want to pick?
Yeah, seriously. The White Sox?
Who do I want to pick to win the World Series? What do you mean, who do I want to? I want the Astros to win the World Series. I want the Astros to win the World Series.
You sound like you're being coerced.
Yeah, you sound like because of the music got you in a groove that you couldn't lose, that you picked a team that you weren't going to pick.
That's all I'm saying. I'm saying I'm in a good mood. I haven't thought about who's going to win the 2023 World Series yet. I mean, there's a long time to go between now and then. The Astros are the favorite, but even the Astros are the favorite are plus 600. Like, they're not the odds on team to win. Like, it's long odds for them to win the World Series. Are they the favorite? Yes, but it's more likely they don't win the World Series than do win the World Series. But yeah, why not? Astros are great. Astros are very good. Astros are going to reign. They're going to put their stamp on being the greatest dynasty of this millennium.
Well, who do they beat?
Well, I love the Braves. Blanker stole my thunder there. I love the Braves. The Braves are so good. The Braves top to bottom. Acuna is fantastic. I think he's going to win the MVP. Spencer Strider is a stud. And last year in his first year, Max Fried is really good as well. That bullpen's good, although Iglesias is starting the year on the injured list. But I love the Braves. I think the Braves are the best team in the NL by a mile.
So you can't Price is Right me because we ended up picking the same thing on that one.
Yeah. I'm surprised you didn't pick the Padres. You love the Padres.
I think the Padres are a team much like a Kansas State in the Final Four where, you put them all together in less than a year and you expect them to win, and that normally can be challenging. I think in this case, look, with all the things that they did last year, Soto didn't hit hardly at all. And once he settles in and now you add Xander Bogaerts and you've got pitching and you've got a solid lineup, I think the Dodgers are in trouble in terms of their reign on the division. I know Key and L.A. already texted us, see you in October. That means, yeah, you're going to see the Astros in October when you're sitting on your couch as a Dodger fan watching your team crap the bed again in the playoffs. So, I mean, that's the kind of things that – but again, hope springs eternal for everybody from Detroit to Minnesota to all across baseball starting today, and we'll see how it changes. But I believe the Astros and the Braves – I know the Dodgers would love to be there, but they've been saying that for years. And we'll see how it all plays out. Joe, we'll get your predictions after the break because we know that they're meaningful and because you scour baseball before you drop where you're going to be tonight at Minute Maid Park enjoying an opening day. But we'll continue to roll on. It's the Killer Bees. Much more to come. 713-780-3776. Calls and texts. Otherwise, hit us up on Twitter. And we got more. Just getting started. ESPN 97.5, 92.5 Killer Bees.
This is a Veritex Community Bank Roadshow. Live from Texas Tailgate, this is the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
713-780-ESPN, the HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776. Broadcasting live from Texas Tailgate on Texas Ave. It is opening day. It's basically a holiday in this city. Food trucks out here. A lot of promo teams are out here from a lot of different vendors, all brought to you by SiteJab. Swing on by. Hang out with us here at Texas Tailgate on your way to Minute Maid Park, right across the street from the Dynamo Stadium and just a few blocks away from Minute Maid Park as well. The perfect pregame spot before Astros opening day tonight. Wilhouse will be here until 7 o'clock as well. Poor Wilhouse. They're going to have to stick around for an hour watching the Astros game on TV when it's going on a few blocks down the road. That's tough. That's tough one there. The Wheelhouse. Joe again.
Just throw some dirt on it. Throw some acid in there. Mix it up if you want. That hurt a little bit. It stung.
Yeah, I mean, I hadn't thought about it. It was just kind of going on.
Do they have press passes for tonight's game, Joe?
Probably.
They didn't ask for them.
Okay, well, that's okay.
I know Andrew does because he's a member of the bullpen.
Andrew does not have one. He didn't ask for one.
It's not what he told me.
That's interesting.
Yeah. 6730, who just texted into the HRP listener line. He's stupid. How many beers did Branham have at Texas Tailgate already? None. I've only had some water. He sounds like he hates the Astros, but has to like them because he works here in Houston. That would be the stupidest text I've ever had in my entire life. I've lived in Houston my entire life.
You ready to pull a Jake this early?
Jake called me a homer once upon a time, so I don't know what it is. Am I a homer, as described by Jake? Or am I someone who only likes Houston because I have to work here?
No.
Like 6730 says. That's the spectrum there. That's
yeah, but if you're pulling a Jake.
And the other end of the spectrum.
If you're pulling a Jake, Jeremy, you just say, hey, and by the way, 6730, thanks for listening to the program. Now lose the number and never call us again or text us.
Like Rogers, lose my number, okay?
Yeah.
No, I like the tag. Don't stop texting 6730, but you are stupid.
And don't stop believing.
You are stupid, but you can continue to text the Killer Bees at 713-780-ESPN. The HRP listener line, 713-780-3776. All right, what's the lineup tonight, opening day? I think Dusty Baker has tipped his hand, but what do you think it is for old Skipper Dusty tonight?
I think Doobie Doobie Doo's playing second for Altuve because of the fact that, I mean, we know that there's going to be ground balls, and I believe that in terms of your best, just like he was Verlander's personal center fielder, he's going to be Fromber's personal second baseman until Altuve comes back. But I think, obviously, Pena leads off. Abreu's at first. Bregman's at third. Maldi behind the dish. I think Chaz is in center. Yordan's interesting. I would like to see Yordan designated hit and then put someone else in left field, but I'm just not sure which way Dusty will lean and Tucker in right. So I think that's the biggest question mark for me is where's Yordan in the order and what's he playing? And then because of it, you know, who's going to be in the outfield? I would assume it's going to be Chaz and Jake, but I don't know.
Yeah, I think that Yordan plays left field today because it's opening night. Like, opening day is whenever you play all the dudes where they want to play. And I think Yordan wants to play left field more than he wants to be the DH. So I fully expect Yordan to be in left field. Plus, Fromber's a ground ball pitcher, and Dusty usually likes to play Yordan in left whenever there's a ground ball pitcher on the mound because more ground balls means less flyouts, and less flyouts is good for Yordan Alvarez. But more of the batting order, I think, is the conversation that I think is interesting because we've spent a lot of time first this offseason talking about, well, who's going to bat second? Now that they re-signed Michael Brantley, Brantley's like your prototypical two-hole hitter, but Jeremy Pena was fantastic in the playoffs last year, winning the ALCS MVP. The World Series MVP was phenomenal in the second spot because he had protection from the middle of the Houston Astro lineup. But then Jose Altuve breaks his thumb. He's going to be out until at least June, and it's like, well, now who bats leadoff? Michael Brantley's on the IL. Jose Abreu is now part of this lineup. And I have a theory here, Blankers, that Dusty loves professional hitters, right? Like, we know Dusty's old school, not that there's anything wrong with that. We know that Dusty loves old school type of dudes who know how to drive in runs in the middle of his order. Jose Abreu has been an RBI champion, I believe, a couple of times. I think he's done it twice in his career. And even though he doesn't have like 35 home run power like Yordan Alvarez is certainly capable of, like Kyle Tucker is certainly capable of, I think Dusty Baker is going to figure out a way that Jose Abreu is his cleanup hitter more times than not. Because he values, one, contact, bat to ball in that spot, and he views Jose Abreu as that professional hitter that knows how to drive in runs.
Yeah, look, you know what? And especially in this series, it's going to be interesting because I think lost in the shuffle of everything that's going on is Abreu's playing his old team, and I think that he's going to be fired up, and I think that he's going to send a message because I think that he expected that he was going to get a better offer from the White Sox. I think that that's going to mean something to him, especially on the national stage tonight. But I could see Abreu, and I'm fine with Abreu in the middle of this lineup because I believe that, as we talked about as soon as he was signed, the fact that he's going to be in a lineup this stack, he's going to see better pitches, and I fully expect him to have a really, really good year. I don't know if those power numbers are going to go up and if playing in Minute Maid is going to translate to more, you know, extra base hits and home runs, but I feel like in this lineup, it is set up for him to succeed, especially with the guys in it and around him. And so I'm excited if he is in the four spot, and I believe he's going to do some things if he is.
There's a lot of people nowadays, like the analytical guys, the sabermetric nerds that are like, you know, they look at OPS and those are going to be our dudes that are going to bat in the middle of our order or whatever, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But Dusty Baker, I think, thinks that Jose Abreu is a dude that can drive in runs. Like, he's willing to hit a ground ball up the middle of the runner at third less than two outs, even if it sacrifices him going 0-for-1. Like, Abreu, I believe that Dusty Baker views him as that type of guy, where he's willing to sacrifice an at-bat for, you know, being able to drive in a run. Because, look, a lot of guys aren't willing to do that. A lot of guys, game 32 of a 162-game season, maybe they're playing for a contract. There's a runner at third base, one out. They're not going to hit a ground ball up the middle of the infield playing back that guarantees that run to score. They're looking for a base hit. So Jose Abreu is that professional hitter that Dusty Baker is going to make sure that he's in his cleanup spot in his lineup. And another thing, I think that the lineup that Dusty used a couple of days ago in the final game against Sugarland, I believe that's really close to the lineup that we're going to see. In that game, he used Pena as the leadoff hitter, and then he used Yordan as the two-hole hitter. So Pena, even though he's up in the leadoff spot, he's still getting that protection that he got last postseason whenever he was on fire. So I like that. I don't love Pena in the leadoff spot. We all know that. But if you're going to use Pena there and you have Yordan right behind him, okay, cool. Jeremy Pena is going to get that protection that he got a year ago. His lineup two nights ago in the final exhibition game against the Space Cowboys was Pena, Alvarez, Bregman, Abreu, Tucker. I think that's the top five that we see for Dusty Baker tonight. Pena, Alvarez, Bregman, Abreu, Tucker. I think Chaz McCormick's going to hit sixth. Now, if he plays center field or does he play left field with Yordan DHing, I don't know. That's going to be like the biggest question is like who's the DH left field wherever Yordan Alvarez is not. I kind of think we're going to see Jiner Diaz make his start tonight at the designated hitter spot.
You know what? I'd be fine with that. I'm just really curious in terms of, because I agree with you. Look, I think Dusty's the guy that's long, his long memory is about veteran players, and you go back to guys like, wasn't it a year ago, was it Encarnacion, where he remembered him when he was in his heyday like three teams ago? And we were remembering him as a guy that was barely over 200, that isn't a guy that could do much damage, but he was concerned about pitching to him. I think that's where his memory goes, and then he doesn't remember the young pitchers that are in the league that he has seen pitch before. I think he remembers Abreu when he was at his best, and I love the fact that he's going to be, you know, a big part of this team now, and I think Dusty loves it too. What I'm most curious about too is, besides the feng shui of it, you know, as we get later in the game and what he's thinking about doing, if it's a close game, I'm interested in terms of his substitutions, because I don't know, you know, is he going to pinch hit for Amaldi in a tie game with runners on base and, you know, in a key situation, knowing that he has the unknown behind him at catcher, as opposed to a veteran, like even last year at the start of the year, you had a Jason Castro. I think this young catching situation and sending Lee down, I'm curious to see if that plays a part early in this season, because I think Maldi's going to catch as much as he's ever caught, simply because I don't think that anybody should trust or have trust in the backup catcher situation right now.
Yeah, I am curious about that too. Like, who is the first catcher that starts to give Martin Maldonado a day off.
Yep.
I disagree that he's going to catch as more than he ever caught before. I think at this age,
they
can't do that. And I think I think ultimately, too, that Dusty's going to look big picture with this team. He usually does. But I'm fascinated to see who's the first backup catcher that starts a game. Because, and look, I think it's going to come in the White Sox series. I don't think Maldonado will start all four games in a row. I think it's tough for a catcher, especially an aging catcher.
Okay.
But who starts behind the dish the first time that Martin Maldonado gets a day off,
yep,
I think is going to tell us a lot about how the Astros feel about
Jeremy
Diaz being a defensive catcher that they can trust to start games behind the dish.
Who does he catch for? Because if it was Corey Lee who caught a lot of these guys in Sugar Land, you could say, well, Corey Lee's had experience with Hunter Brown, so you could put Corey Lee in there. But because
Diaz
Corey
probably
Lee
does too, though.
What?
I'm sure Diaz has a lot of history catching.
I don't know if I'd say a lot, but I mean, I'm sure he has history. But that would be my easiest call. But then with Hunter Brown, you know, in the major leagues, a lot of times you need that psychologist behind the dish, too. So, yeah, it's going to be a lot to watch for there.
Yeah. Yeah. 713-780-ESPN, the HRNP listener line. What does the starting lineup look like tonight for Dusty Baker? How would you deploy the Houston Astros starting nine ahead of opening day tonight against the White Sox? 713-780-3776. Killer Bees broadcasting live from Texas Tailgate on Texas Avenue on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Turn down for what?
Live from Texas Tailgate for a Veritex Community Bank Roadshow, this is the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Broadcasting live from Texas Tailgate, Texas Avenue, pregame spot for opening night of the Astros and White Sox tonight. Already getting pretty fun in here. Music is loud, as you can tell. Also, a bunch of food trucks here. This is the spot to grab a bite, grab a drink on your way to Minute Maid Park tonight. You're heading out to the Minute Maid. Make sure you swing on by here at Texas Tailgate, Texas Avenue, just a few blocks away from Minute Maid Park. And right across the street from the Dynamo Stadium. What are they calling it nowadays? I know it's not BBVA. They changed it recently. It's like its fifth name in the history of its
building. They did. I want to say, is it Shell?
Yeah. Shell, that's right. It is Shell. But there's like a second word next to it, too.
No, you're right. Like you're right. But I know Shell was stadium. Part of it because I was surprised to see that.
Yeah, anyways. The Dynamo Stadium. Dynamo-Stadium.
Not Santa's Chuck. Home away from home.
Is it?
Not Santa's sock. You know, he just loves soccer so much. That's
soccer matters. Every how many days?
Evidently, it mattered last night, Joe.
It did matter last night? Is there an inside story?
Oh,
there
is. Yeah, we'll fill you in. Don't worry.
Oh, I can't wait to hear that. Battery Chuck, who we love on the Twitch. We love all of our Twitchers. Twitch.tv/ESPN975. He just broke this news on our Twitch channel. Well, I guess he just relayed news. He was the messenger, but he broke it to us. Justin Verlander will be placed on the IL with a low-grade teres major strain. I don't know what that is. He'll continue throwing at moderate intensity and will rescan in a week. We'll provide an update at the time. So former Houston Astro Justin Verlander, the reigning American League Cy Young winner, is starting the season on the injured list. I do not trust pitchers who are nearly 40 years old.
No, and that's exactly why we both said time to move on from Justin Verlander. You said it before, it was the hip and cool thing to say, but when you knew that, as I had said, that he was going to want Scherzer money, and that was upwards of 40 mil, that was just not something the Astros needed to do or should want to do, and thankfully right now they didn't, because we were loving what Justin Verlander did in his time here, but we also knew an end was coming sooner rather than later, and when he started putting the price tag that high, it didn't make sense anymore. For the Astros, good luck to the Mets, but kind of what you alluded to the other day, you don't trust, you know, two starting pitchers, no matter how much they're being paid at the start of the rotation, that are both upwards in age like that, and already one of them's hitting the IL. So something to keep an eye on if you're the Mets, that they might have buyer remorse. They may have overspent.
Look, hopefully Verlander's all right. I don't wish bad things about Verlander. I liked Verlander. Certainly appreciate the time that he had in Houston.
Mm-hmm.
Two World Series titles, the only two World Series titles that the Houston Astros have won, had Justin Verlander on the roster, was a big role on both of those teams. So I wish Justin Verlander the best, but it's probability. It's probability for a dude who's 40 years old, and he's making $43 million this year and next year. It's a lot of money for those people that wanted to hashtag pay the man. I know that's Carlos Correa kind of theme mantra. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. Blankers, I have a really good feeling of what Dusty Baker's top five is going to be. I think he tipped his hand in Sugarland. He's talked about lineups, things like that. It's not some sort of like, you know, I'm not uncovering some mystery. Like, it's pretty clear, I think, what Dusty Baker's lineup's going to look like. I fully expect Pena to be the leadoff guy, Yordan to bat second, or see Alex Bregman bat third, Jose Abreu bat fourth, Kyle Tucker fifth, and I think we're going to see Chaz McCormick in the sixth spot for the Astros. Top five, I'm really confident about. Top six, I'm more fairly confident about. If I was filling out this lineup, and I'm an idiot that just talks on the radio, even though I've lived in Houston my whole life, if I was filling out the starting lineup like or the batting order, I would lead it off with Alex Bregman. I would lead it off with Alex Bregman. He's your prototypical leadoff hitter, at least in terms of like what he does in the box. He's not fast. He's not a prototypical leadoff hitter because he's slow. He's a slow human being. But he gets on base a ton. He has really good contact skills as well, sees a lot of pitches, and you want a leadoff hitter that sees a lot of pitches. I would follow it up with Kyle Tucker because I think Kyle Tucker adds that element of speed, good on-base guy, and Yordan Alvarez I want to bat deeper in the lineup because I want him to hit bombs and drive in a lot of runs. Following that, I would actually go Jeremy Pena in the three spot. I would have Jeremy Pena in the three spot because I want Yordan Alvarez to protect him. Jeremy Pena is a superstar when he has Yordan Alvarez protection. So I don't want to lose that. So Pena in the three spot, Yordan in the four spot, and then I would actually have Jose Abreu bat fifth. So my top five, and Dusty's not going to do this, but I would go Bregman, Tucker, Pena, Yordan, Abreu. What would your top five look like?
Yeah, look, I'm with you. You know, I've said all along, I thought Bregman should be the leadoff hitter. And I think for a lot of reasons, because it's a younger psyche with a Jeremy Pena, and I believe that it means something in terms of him kind of mentally being able to come back this year and really have a complete season and a lot more balance than he had a year ago when he was up and down. I think he really feels comfortable in the two hole. So I would go Bregman, and then I would go Pena, then I would go Yordan, then I would go Tucker. 1, 2, 3, 4. Then
Abreu fifth.
Then Abreu fifth.
So you don't care about the back to back lefties like
Dusty? I don't.
Does?
I know Dusty does, and that's why I'm wrong in this because the right answer is we're not predicting
what Dusty's doing. We're saying what we would do.
Yeah,
we know what Dusty's doing.
Yeah, and that's what I would do. I mean, I'm with you that I think Chaz probably ends up in the sixth hole, but I really like that top five, and you can mix them up a million different ways. I just think Bregman's ability to command the strike zone. And he still has some pop, but he's got such a trained eye at the plate that it and Pena struggles with breaking pitches. I just feel like Bregman in the leadoff spot is where he belongs until Altuve comes back. And I don't like moving Pena up another spot when we knew that, you know, he struggled from time to time. He obviously struggled down at the bottom of the lineup. He found his way in this two hole. So I would keep him there because that's where he feels comfortable. That's where he played his best, and I believe that will give him a little extra to start the season. But then overall, I think I don't know that you can go wrong when you start thinking about whether Yordan should come up with the potential of having two outs in the first inning, but he'll still get more at-bats in that first because he's batting in the first inning. I think Yordan's every at-bat is important. So I'd put Yordan in the three, Tucker and Abreu after that, and I'm fine with that.
Yeah, see, I'm in the minority where I actually kind of devalue the three-hole more than most people do because it is the one spot in the lineup that bats more than any other spot with two outs, nobody on. I don't need a great on-base percentage guy in the three spots. Why I like Pena there. Look, Pena's numbers in the two-hole are fantastic, so it's hard to really argue with what you just said. I think it matters more that Pena hits in front of Yordan than it does Pena batting second. That's like Dusty's lineup tonight. It's going to have Pena in the leadoff spot, Yordan second. It's because he wants that Yordan protection of Jeremy Pena. So it's really hard to argue. And in Dusty, I trust you. You have over 2,000 wins. You have a World Series title. I've said it once. I've said it a million times. Dusty Baker's a great manager, and I believe everything, and I have full trust in everything that he does.
Joe, you got any changes that you'd make or any top five lineup issues that you've heard from us?
No, I don't think so. I guess I still think there's an outside shot that Tucker is the leadoff guy, but it's probably going to be Pena.
I just think he's tipped his hand with the Sugar.
No,
lane.
I think
yeah,
so.
I agree.
No, I think so too. I think it's just because I still want it to be Tucker that I'm hoping that Dusty isn't tipping his hand and he's kind of, for whatever reason, is trying to strategically not over tip his hand in the wrong direction. But like I expect it to be Pena, Alvarez, Bregman, Tucker, or Abreu tonight.
See, I think he's hell bent on having Abreu in the cleanup spot because he's a professional hitter and he knows how to drive in runs, which is like an antiquated thought. People are thinking, oh, no, it doesn't matter. Just get a good hitter there and he's going to drive in runs. But Dusty Baker values a dude who has the ability to drive in runs. He thinks it's a skill. I think it's a skill, too. Sometimes we overrate it, potentially, maybe. Not Dusty. He's hell bent on getting Jose Abreu in the cleanup spot. Oh, I forgot what I was going to say about Pena. I was going to say, oh, yeah. Of the leadoff spot, I'll be honest with you, Pena would be the fourth guy on the Astros that's currently on this team that I would have in my leadoff spot. The two, obviously, are Bregman and Tucker. I would have Yordan Alvarez lead off before Jeremy Pena because he's going to get, like Joel said just a moment ago, you're maximizing his at-bats. Mm-hmm. You're giving him the most opportunity to influence a game by because you're guaranteeing him more plate appearances than anybody else. And it seems like Dusty's going to bat him second anyway, so what's one other spot in the order? But I digress. A lot of these batting order conversations are really kind of overrated. Like, in the grand scheme of 162 games, it really doesn't influence the run output very much. We have fun with it because the batting order is fun to look at whenever they release it. It's obviously very fun on opening day, speculating what it's going to look like. We like to put our shoes in the manager spikes as well to fill out our lineup. At the end of the day, batting orders, if they were like optimal versus random, it's less than 10 runs per season.
Yeah, and I get that. All these conversations are driven by the fact that we can give our opinions till we're blue in the face, and Dusty's just so quirky that it always, again, when we talk about what we look forward to in the 162, I think a lot of times in the dog days or even in situations like this, some of the most outlandish things we wouldn't even consider are going to be on the table because it's Dusty Baker. So it's going to be fun to watch how he puts his lineup out there. Does he tweak it at all, especially when he's giving guys days off? Is he going to put the guys that are coming in the same spot in the lineup, which he's done in the past? It's all of that kind of extra fun that goes with being an Astros fan with Dusty Baker at the helm.
Yeah. One more thing. Ocho telling us on the Twitch line about Justin Verlander. Apparently that terrace strain or whatever, apparently mm-hmm. It's connected to the shoulder.
Uh-oh.
Which, uh-oh. Like, shoulders for pitchers automatically is a huge red flag and a huge, oh, no, oh, my goodness. But tacking on to a dude who's 40 years old, and I think it elevates that, magnifies that as well. And, again, I'm hoping that Justin Verlander ultimately is a short stint on the IL, comes back, pitches well for the Mets, even if it means that I can sit here and say I told you so. I don't want to take victory laps when it comes to Justin Verlander.
I don't want to
take victory laps when it comes to JV.
Joe, I have a question now.
Yeah.
Is Justin Verlander soft?
No.
That's a little different.
I'm just asking a question. Because I don't know. I mean, if there's a labor short stoppage at all, God forbid if he doesn't have his trainers to help him through this, and then he might not come back till late August. Oh, that was Lance McCullers.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm going Verlander soft. Lance McCullers, on the other hand, I don't think
that's why I'm giving you the opportunity right there.
I don't think it's up for debate. 713-780-ESPN, the HRMP listener line. Obviously, Astros heavy today. It's a national holiday. It's opening day in Major League Baseball. The Astros are hashtag ready to reign. 713-780-3776. So Jose Altuve and Lance McCullers, speaking of Lance McCullers, Mr. Glass, we thought that there was a chance that Lance McCullers might land on the 60-day IL. We thought it was a guarantee that Jose Altuve would land on the 60-day IL. They didn't place either guy on the 60-day. Altuve to the 10-day, Lance McCullers to the 15-day. Are we reading too much into that? Is there some positive, encouraging news when it comes to those roster moves for the Houston Astros? 713-780-3776. Killer Bees broadcasting live from Texas Tailgate on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.